We all need hope for our marriages, don't we? Whether we have a pretty good marriage and we want hope for a long-term future, whether we have a struggling marriage or a marriage in crisis. Well, Steve Stroop gave a message earlier this year, and I've taken some highlights that I wanted to share with you because I thought they were so inspiring, and because Steve gets honest about some of the patterns and early experiences in his own marriage that I think you'll find encouraging. So here's Steve talking about hope for every marriage.
Many of you know my wife, Marcia. It may or may not come as a shock to you that I get along with some of you on some days better than I do Marcia. And the reason you and I get along so well on days that Marcia and I maybe are not getting along so well is because I don't have to share a bathroom with you. All right? Lid up or lid down. You know that one? I don't have to share a checkbook with you. I don't share a calendar with you. You see, what happens is when me's become we, there's an intimacy, but in that intimacy, there is opportunity for conflict. And researchers tell us that all marriages have some level of conflict. And we don't have to be afraid of that conflict, because what that conflict does is it exposes some things that God needs to change, very frankly. I think all of us like to think of ourselves as very giving and very generous people until we have to play together. And we have to share our toys, huh? And that's what one of the things that marriage does is it puts you in situations where you can't just say, hey, if you want to do it my way, that's fine. See, a lot of folks have what I call hitchhiker kind of love. I'm going this way, and if you want to ride with me, that's fine, but I'm not changing my direction for you and your destination. Does that describe your love? See, I think that intimacy exposes that smallness, that selfishness. It also exposes our pride. Do we have to be right about everything? And I think one of the things that intimacy and the conflict that it creates does is it causes us to realize how much we're depending on our spouse to behave in a certain way instead of trusting in God. See, really, building a strong marriage is really more about your relationship with God than it is even about your relationship with your spouse. And marriage, when done right, is a three-way relationship. And God's very, very much involved for both of you. Second thing we've got to have is we not only have to have a God-centered faith, but we also have to have a resilient hope. See, hope is what gets us through the tough times. And when two very different people come together and share life and there is intimacy and therefore there is conflict, there are going to be some tough times. And even if there are not tough times between the two individuals, there are going to be tough times in this fallen world that we have to face together. It may be sickness, it may be finance, it may be trouble with the children. Many times when I'm counseling a couple, they'll come and the first thing I've got to do is I've got to cast a vision of hope, because the couple has lost hope. By the time they get to my office, it's usually the next to last stop. The next stop is divorce court. And they're already tired and they're already wearied and they've already tried very many things before they would face the embarrassment of sharing with their pastor that they're having marital conflict. And what I have to do is I have to say to them, you know, I have talked to hundreds and hundreds of couples. And I can have them walk by today and I have them give testimony that they thought at one time that it could never get any better, and it has. And that's possible. I know how you feel today, but it took you a long time. It took you 5, 6, 7 years to get here. And if there was a path to getting here, there's also a path back. And I want to just put hope right here, and I just say it. I say, look right here, this is invisible, but I want you to imagine hope. And this hope is that your marriage could be a great marriage someday. And I'm going to put this right here on the shelf. And my hope is that one day we'll come back a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and we'll say, oh my goodness, we could have never imagined in our wildest imaginations that God could do this. But you have got to believe that God can do something that you can't do. But without hope, friends, without hope, you're not going anywhere. There was a study that was done several years ago. In fact, it was a fairly extensive study done with 2,000 couples over a 20-year period. And in that study, it was done by the National Survey of Families and Households. And what they found out is that 86% of the couples who said they were unhappy 5 years later said that they were happier. 5 years later. 60% of the couples who said they were unhappy 5 years later said they were very happy. Now, am I suggesting that you just hang around for 5 years and don't do anything and things are going to get better? No, not at all. I think you have to do something. But what I want to say to you is there are a lot of folks who are ready to give up that don't have to give up. It might surprise you to know that 43% of first-time marriages end in divorce, but that 60% of second marriages end in divorce. And I share that for several reasons. Number one, I share it to say that a lot of times what we think when things start getting bad is, you know, I'll just start over and I'll have a better chance. Chances are less on the second time around. Now, let me just say on the side here very quickly, I know that there are a lot of people that are here today that have divorce in their background. Understand that a lot of you know people who have been divorced. And we are no way saying that a person who's divorced in the Lord's church is a second-class citizen. But what we're saying is there are a lot of folks who get divorces that really don't need to get divorces if they could get hope. Can't do anything about the past, but we can do something about the present, and we can do something about the future. Marcia and I got married way too early. My parents told us that at the time, but we didn't listen to them. And very immature. Marcia describes the first 3 years of our marriage as the worst years of her life. I'm not real proud of that. I had a problem. I was dumb as a rock, all right? And I didn't realize that women had different emotional needs than men. I certainly didn't understand that Marcia had a different personality and different background than I did, and she had different needs than I had. And very frankly, I was very verbal and very aggressive. And so for the first 3 years of our marriage, basically I got my way by just manipulating her and pressuring her. And finally, Marcia got so miserable that she decided she'd make me miserable. And that's kind of when I got my wake-up call. Now, let me just tell you where we were. Both of us came out of a Christian background. And so for us, divorce was not an option. Now, what do you do when you got two people who are making each other miserable and you can't get rid of each other? I mean, you can't. And literally, what we, at that point, this is just where we were, I'm just being honest here, basically what we were saying to ourselves, if I'm stuck with this person the rest of my life, we better figure out how this thing works. And it was that desperation that drove us to our knees, and it was that desperation that drove us to the Word of God, to godly counsel from older, better marriages, that caused us to read every book we'd get our hands on and listen to every tape that we could listen to. And that's what saved our marriage, because we didn't have an easy exit. You hear what I'm saying today? I was just talking to a couple right before the service today, and they hadn't heard this message yet. But I was walking around saying, hi, how are you doing, that kind of thing. And they shared with me that they had attended our church many years ago, 15, 16 years ago, over when we were on Dalrock Road. And she reminded me that she had sent me a letter telling me that she was going to leave her husband at that time. But that God worked in all of that situation, and they're here today, and they're sitting in this auditorium, and they have a great marriage. Isn't that great? Now, that was an opportunity that could have been lost without hope. Where do you get hope? You get hope by having your faith centered in God. And then you believe that God can do some things that you can't do, that God maybe knows something that you don't know. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 33, it says, nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. Several times in the scriptures, it says that husbands are to love their wives, and yet it says to the wives, their command is to respect their husband. I just finished a wonderful book called Love and Respect. In fact, it's one of the books that we have available at our bookstore and in the library and at our Home Point Center. You see, in the context here, it says that we're to give to our wives unconditional love. And I think most of us understand that concept. But in context here, it also says that wives are to give to their husbands unconditional respect. That's a new concept for many people. You know, the first thing that comes into your mind is, I'll respect him when he acts the right way. No, that's not what it says. When did we come to believe that when we deprive our spouse of what they need, that they would want to give us what we need? Has that worked, by the way, for anybody yet? Could I just see any hands? And when, ladies, did you decide that your husband would become a lovable spouse when you pointed out all of his flaws? Has that worked for anybody yet? See, the Bible is saying here, when it's talking about expressing unconditional love and respect, that it's talking about us being independently responsible to love our spouse. Let me go back and say that again. We're independently responsible to love our spouse. The reason he couched it that way is he knew that we would have a tendency to use our spouse's behavior and or attitude as an excuse for our behavior and or attitude. But if we're putting our faith in God to meet all of our needs, and I know he wants to meet a lot of those needs through your spouse, but sometimes your spouse doesn't cooperate, but that doesn't frustrate God. God would still meet all of our needs if we're putting our faith in him. And if we have a hope, a resilient hope that this marriage can be better and I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to settle, then what that does, both of those things set us free to do our part independent. You may do everything right and your mate still not respond. But here's what I believe the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God has a blessing for you and he has a grace for you there that you will not find by retaliating and by giving up. That God will bless you. God, in a supernatural way, will meet all your needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. Friends, you step outside of God's will, you do not have that promise. And here's what I know from experience is that when you are faithful, when you become a catalyst and you allow God to use you to respect and to love another who maybe is not giving the same to you, you give the home the best opportunity to become a God-honoring home.